This is Solid Snake, and you're listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew on ThisWeekinGeek.net.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. Movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. This Week in Geek. This Week in Geek.
What are your prime directives? Serve the public trust, protect the innocent, uphold the law, and listen to This Week in Geek. I am your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and we are here for the topic show for the month of February. But I'm not alone as I patrol the streets of Old Detroit. I'm joined by my old and faithful partner,
the youthful young ward, Robin.
Well, at least you're not a woman.
That's right. At least I'm not.
You are not Ann Lewis, unfortunately. Though Nancy Allen, back in her day, was pretty cute. I'm just saying. So, we are here finally talking about RoboCop. Now, just before this show started, me and Scotty were like, have we never done a RoboCop topic show? We actually went back to the website, started looking through the archives. No, we've never talked about RoboCop, despite the answer always being, what is the answer to life, the universe, and everything? RoboCop. I mean, it's always the smart-ass answer I give. And about one out of every 5,000 times, it actually is the answer. Most notably, Com Bravo 2010 is where this tradition started. But no, was it 2010? No, maybe it was 2000. Either way, it was my first Com Bravo that I went to years back. So anyway, guys, like I said, big thanks to our sponsors who help make This Week in Geek possible. People such as OffWorldDesigns.com using promo code BROHOOVE to get 10% off your entire order. GameAccess.ca, NobleKnight.com, 1UpYourLife.com, SFI.org, Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club, and the place where I get all my awesome clothes, bigandtallmart.com, using promo code GEEK10 on checkout for 10% off orders, $50 or more. So, Scotty, I guess, what have we been doing the last month or so on the site?
What have we been doing the last month or so? Well, we have been doing internet things, if that's right, right? Internet things, right?
Yeah, internet things.
Okay.
I'd venture this month has actually been kind of slow for stuff happening, at least for me personally. I've been sick a lot of this month. Actually, for about half this month, I've been bloody near dead, actually. I've had about the worst flu because my wife works around children. It means she brings home the goddamn plague. So yeah, that sucked. Mind you, it gives you a chance to catch up on the RoboCop TV series, which is still kind of horrible, even today.
Or, as your Facebook status is say, catch up on wrestling.
Oh my god, I love it! I honestly blame Mike and Laura for getting me back into this. They did a wrestling podcast probably about, I guess about a month and a half ago. I started watching wrestling after the Royal Rumble. I've only missed three episodes because it's a show that I don't watch. I don't watch NXT, which is like the junior leagues, I guess, of wrestling. I'm probably wrong, so feedback at thisweekingeek.net.
I'm so lost. Holy shit.
Oh my god, dude. I went out and bought the WWE Network. I'm signed up for the next 6 months.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
I am going to wrestling in Toronto in April. I'm going to try going to the Ricola or the Rico Center or Coliseum, whatever the fuck it is.
What's it? Is it like an independent one or?
No, it's actually WWE. They got Daniel Bryan's coming, the Wyatt family, Alberto Del Rio, the Shield's coming.
It's Iron Sheik?
I wish.
Is Hulk Hogan going to be there?
You know what? It's actually a possibility. You never know.
Because I would just want to go just to see Hulk Hogan.
I'm so excited for this. I mean, it's amazing how much I actually fell in love with wrestling now that I've gotten back into it. Because a lot of people are saying, oh, the brand is shit and all this stuff. But you know what? I enjoy it. Maybe we'll talk about wrestling again on the show. I'd love to talk about the history of WrestleMania with WrestleMania 30 happening in just over 40 days now, I think.
Oh, sorry, on a side note, did Hulk Hogan actually come back to wrestling, everyone was saying?
He did, yes. On really? Monday Night's Raw, he came out in Wisconsin and was like, I'm back to host Hulkamania. I'm going to do this in New Orleans at WrestleMania 30. And he gave an interview with the chick there, Renee Young, I think her name was. Good stuff. He looks good for a 60-something year old, if you can believe that.
Yeah, I wouldn't fuck with Hulk Hogan, that's for sure.
He would eat you and spit you out.
He'd have some hot cold soda and cold hot popcorn available in the concession booth.
But anyway, guys, well, I guess let's get started with this month's topic show. Let's, like I said, we're going to talk about RoboCop. I mean, there was a new movie that hit theaters just a couple of weeks ago. But before we get into talking about the new movie, we got to talk about the franchise as a whole. And we're going to do that with Just the Facts. The future of law enforcement has arrived, and it has a name, RoboCop. RoboCop is slaying Detroit police officer Alex J. Murphy, whom just transferred in from Metro South and wanted to make a difference on the streets until he was violently gunned down in the line of duty. Murphy would be resurrected by the company contracted to run the city's police department, OCP, aka Omni Consumer Products. Murphy would rediscover his humanity and bring his murderers and the corrupt OCP officials to justice. Bringing the crime-fighting cyborg to life would be actor Peter Weller, who was previously known for The Adventurers of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. RoboCop arrived in cinemas in the glorious year of 1987 and would be directed by Paul Verhoeven, who would go on to direct sci-fi classics like Total Recall and Starship Troopers. The movie would go on to gain a cult following and be praised for its dark satire and the take on the consumer and corporate culture, which was a part of the 1980s yuppie landscape. RoboCop would have further cinematic adventures with directors like Ivan Kershner, who is best known for The Empire Strikes Back, for the sequel RoboCop 2, and the follow-up to that, RoboCop 3, which came out in 1993, would be considerably more kid-friendly and be done by director Fred Decker, who is known for The Monster Squad and Night of the Creeps. RoboCop would also see several of his own television series, both live-action and animated, with the Marvel series running 12 episodes in the late 80s, a live-action series coming out in 1994, which ran for a total of 22 episodes, which was filmed in Canada, go get 'em, and finally a rebooted cartoon called RoboCop Alpha Commando, which would premiere in the late 90s and run for approximately 40 episodes. Our faithful cyborg would be everywhere in the media in the 80s and 90s for quite some time. There was actually even actors that were paid to dress up in the RoboCop costumes and patrol malls across America that generate hype for the first movie. And even RoboCop would enter the ring. That's right, the world of professional wrestling, wrestling Sting from the Four Horsemen from WCW's Steel Cage. Go look it up on YouTube. It's different. RoboCop would even be seen overseas hawking fried chicken in a Japanese television commercial and been referenced on many shows such as The Simpsons, Family Guy, Robot Chicken, and many others. Merchandise would also be a part of RoboCop's legacy from licensors like Kenner, who would be known for their Terminator and Jurassic Park toys with their RoboCop and the Ultra Police line, but also people like Todd McFarlane and NECA would take on more screen-accurate action figures as time went forward. Currently, company Jada Toys is making figures based upon the new 2014 RoboCop line, and currently there is a 12-inch talking RoboCop figure, which features 10 different phrases from the movie, and is fairly screen-accurate, all things considered. Also available are 4- and 6-inch figures of the iconic cyborg. The robot is back with a new film that was recently released on February 12, 2014, which would star Gary Oldman, Michael Keaton, Joel Kinnaman from AMC's The Killing. It would be directed by Jose Padilla and would take the series into a bold new direction with his reboot and reimagining of RoboCop. In this month's topic show, we celebrate Detroit's protector, Alex J. Murphy, but you know him better as RoboCop.
Welcome back to the Novak Element. I'm your host, Scott Novak.
And here we are talking about imperialism. Whatever, I can't do a Sam Jackson impression. But
I can, you just gotta swear a lot and say, motherfucker and shit. And snakes on a plane.
Yes, there were no snakes harmed in the filming of RoboCop, at least that I'm aware of. So yes, you heard me talk about just the facts, from comic books to video games to toys to all sorts of things. This franchise has been going around since 1987. And I guess, Scotty, I guess we need to talk about, as we always do, when did we first discover RoboCop? And I'll kind of start off just so you can kind of get your thoughts together.
Okay.
I was 6 or 7 years old when this movie came out. I never saw it in theaters, but I remember seeing it on Cinemax and HBO back in the old satellite days. And I just remember falling in love with this movie, not just because of the excessive violence in it, but because I thought the character of RoboCop was really awesome. A guy who literally had been murdered, but had been brought back to protect the good people of Detroit. He literally was that superhero to me. Alex Murphy was something to be looked up to. I mean, because he didn't have any real problems in his backstory. He was just an ordinary cop who wanted to do the right thing. Unfortunately, doing that got him killed in the line of duty. But he was resurrected through technology to go out there and do the right thing. And then there was the whole satire of the 80s, which wasn't entirely lost on me either, surprisingly, as a child. The thing that I really loved about RoboCop, though, was his gun, the Auto 9. And the main reason I mention that is at the dollar store when I was a kid, you could buy a hand crossbow. And
oh yeah, what?
Yeah, and it would shoot these little plastic arrows. Might be wondering, what the fuck does this have to do with anything? When I was a kid, I got this hand crossbow. I broke the bow off the top of it. Like, oh, fuck, man. Now I don't have a crossbow.
Your native blood. Is that why you got it?
I don't know why I got it, actually.
Fight the white man oppressing?
That's right, with fully automatic weapons. But
sounds like an 80s movie already.
When I got this thing, I broke off the bow, and I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, man, this looks really familiar. And it reminded me, this looks like the Auto 9. It was this long black gun, and it literally had the casket shape of RoboCop's Auto 9, which is based upon the Beretta 93R. And I'm thinking, oh my god, this is so cool. So every time me and my friends would get together and play Cops and Robbers, or as we just called it, Let's Play Guns, I was like, okay, I got RoboCop's gun, Auto 9, fuck you people. And it was just so incredibly awesome. I fell in love with the character. Another memory I have early of RoboCop 2, this one's a little bit gross, and I'm going to preface that with this. I remember I was probably, RoboCop 2, I think, came out in like 91 or something, and I wasn't feeling particularly great when I finally got this home to watch it on VHS. So I remember this Friday night I will never forget. So this thing had just come out on VHS. When I was a kid, I hated water. Wouldn't drink it. Now you can't stop me from drinking the shit. So there was no pop in the house, no milk, no nothing. So I literally just had water. So I'm sitting there with a big bowl of ketchup chips, drinking a shit ton of water.
I thought you were going to say a big bowl of ketchup.
A big bowl of ketchup.
Just sitting there drinking a bowl of ketchup.
So that's what I virtually must have done, because I'm pretty sure the ketchup coating off the chips turned into ketchup in my stomach. I remember getting sick all over the house. But I remember I was watching RoboCop 2 that night.
And that's all that matters.
Oh, it was so gross. And I used to get grossed out at the scene where RoboCop pulls Kane's brain out of the back of RoboCop 2. And smashes it on the pavement, because there's a sound effect with it when the brain hits the pavement, and it's so wet sounding. And then when they're taking Kane's brain out of his body, there's this really sick drill sound, and just you can just hear the pop of the air pressure from the inside the skull to the outside, and it says, "I remember getting knots in my stomach from that sound effect." And then finally, I got a chance to see RoboCop on the big screen with RoboCop 3.
When did RoboCop 3 come out?
93, although they completed it beforehand, if I remember correctly. And I was excited for this because, well, he's flying. He's got a kid sidekick. He's fighting ninjas. This should be amazing. And as we discussed in our RoboCop 3 commentary...
It's RoboCop 3.
It gets a bit of a bad rap. It's still fun, but it's not Peter Weller. It's not bad. It's not great. It's RoboCop in a pimp car. So those are my early memories of RoboCop. And I'll talk more about the toys when we actually get to the merchandise section of this. But Scotty, where does RoboCop start with you?
Oh, shit. My history isn't as colorful and lengthy as yours, that's for certain. But I remember seeing... I can't remember which RoboCop it was, but I saw it on TV when I was like 4 or 5, in like 96, 97. It was on TV or my dad had taped it on something, and I was watching a little bit with him. I only have like small memories of watching RoboCop, but I was like, this guy is badass looking. He's a fucking robot man who has a sweet gun, blowing people's heads off, and he has cool dance moves. I don't know if there'd be dance moves, but let's continue. I guess it wasn't really till later on that I actually sat down, like when I was a little bit older, to watch RoboCop. Because when you're like 4 or 5, it's not really the ideal thing to watch. Mm-hmm. I don't think my dad wanted me watching RoboCop. But it wasn't till later that I watched it, and there's no fancy story about it. Because again... when I probably saw it was in the advent of DVDs and the internet, so there wasn't anything exciting like eating a bowl of ketchup chips. Not a big fan of those, so I wouldn't have done that. Or renting the VHS. So I have a sad history with RoboCop.
It's, you know, it's one of those franchises that almost everybody has a memory of watching it on TV. I haven't met too many people who actually saw it in theaters. But then again, I'm unique among... some of my peers, because I'm probably one of the older people in our group of friends.
Well, I think I'm probably the oldest of everybody.
You and... you're not that much older than Dave, though.
I'm the youngest in the group.
But not by much, though. Maybe, like, I'm, 2 years,
Dave's
maybe?
2 years, 2 years older than me.
Okay.
Yeah. There's nobody who's younger than me.
No. At least I don't think so. Anyway. No,
nobody.
But going through these movies as a kid... is something, I don't know, it's one of those things that I think very much affected how I grew up and how I perceive the world. And I'm not saying that I've had this very cynical view of the world.
You're saying you've had a cynical view of the world.
Well, it's in the fact that when RoboCop was in theaters and when the franchise was at its height, it was very much during the war on drugs, when street crime literally was a big problem. You'd always hear about it on TV or through any number of different news outlets. And I always remembered guys like RoboCop were what kept the bad guys away from people like us, the good law-abiding citizens of the world. And it always kind of stuck with me how there would be literally the knight in shining armor. And that's what RoboCop was to me. The modern knight fighting the guys who are the rapists, the drug dealers. You know, basically going out there and doing good deeds, so to speak. And it very much shaped my perception of the world, how I'm always... I'm very tough on crime, the way I see it. I mean, if you're guilty of a crime, you go to jail or you are punished. In, you know, a certain sense. And that's probably what attracted me to the character of Judge Dredd when that movie came out back in, I think, 95, 97 with Sylvester Stallone. And I don't know, I've always had a real thing for fictional crime fighters, but RoboCop would probably be my favorite, then probably Judge Dredd, looking at those. Now, looking at the movies... there isn't a whole lot we can say about the original three that hasn't really been said, so...
except I'd buy that for a dollar.
Oh, God. I mean, so it's so quotable. I mean, I think, Sky, you know, you and I have had comment wars back and forth, just quoting the movie back and forth at each other.
Yeah, I think we've quoted other movies, too. Like, I like to quote Predator with my friend Dylan. Like, he thought I was mad at him, because I'm just like, fuck you, Dylan. And I just start quoting everything Arnold said. My friend got really upset, actually. He's like, what the fuck's up, man? Like, why are you so fucking pissed off? What did I do? And it took him a second to realize how I spelt Dylan, because his name's spelled differently. Mm-hmm. And then he just starts commenting back. He's like, life's a beach and all this shit.
You see, that's why you, if only technology existed to be able to read emotions through text, or at least, or a certain intonation of voice, you could have said, "Dylan, you son of a bitch."
Exactly.
Like that. I mean, I remember just quoting this endlessly back and forth with people, obviously with, "I'd buy that for a dollar," or "what is this shit?" Stuff like that. There's just so many lines out of these movies that just seem, they are a part of my everyday vocabulary.
Well, like, as a kid, I remember quoting it too when I was playing games with my friends. Like, kids would quote, like, "dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Your move,
your
creep.
Move, creep."
And it's, and you know, it sounds so stupid nowadays, but back then, that was fucking badass. "Your move, creeper. Dead or alive, you're coming with me." And just having Peter Weller and that authoritarian voice, it never came across as campy. It had just the amount of robotic echo to it that it seemed authoritative. It never seemed cheesy. And that's something else to really kind of speak about the original movies, is with Peter Weller in the first two, it really made a character that should be fucking ridiculous.
Plausible.
Yeah, I mean, like, he really gave it a real human edge to it. I mean, in the first movie where Murphy takes off his helmet and he's talking with Lewis, and he's talking about his family, he's like, "I can feel them, but I can't remember them." Stuff like that. And where Lewis goes to comfort him, he's like, just leave me alone. It's stuff like that that really kind of sold the character to me. And then even in RoboCop 2, where he confronts his wife, and he asks her to touch the dead flesh on RoboCop's skull. And he says something along the lines of, like, "touch it." And she's like, "it's cold." He's like, "they made this to honor him. Your husband is dead." And that's Murphy trying to get distance between himself and his wife, because he can't be a husband. He can't be a father anymore. He literally is, as I think Dr. Fax says it, you're just a couple of pieces on a slab. You're not even a corpse. And it wasn't until this year that I realized this, that RoboCop, the only real parts of RoboCop are his heart and his brain. That
yep.
face is not, it's not an actual skull in front. It's actually his skin plastered over a robotic skeleton.
Well, they emphasize that more so when you see, I felt, in the newer film, because you see the damage to his face when they're showing Claire what he looks like at the moment, that they want to help him and make him this RoboCop. And you see that because you're like, holy shit, there's no way that's his face. His eyes are completely burnt apart. Like, his face is destroyed. And that's what made me wonder if it's, like, actually a his actual flesh, or if it was a flesh-like concoction they created in his image to put on top.
It's funny because they actually do talk about this. I can't remember where, though. But they mentioned they had to give Murphy a face for a reason. Because it would be the shock of seeing yourself not as a person would drive you fucking nuts. And they gave Murphy a face so when he inevitably would see himself in a mirror, he would be able to say, "oh, I'm still so-and-so." The brain would comprehend it.
Yes.
So it was there as a mechanism to keep him sane. And they kind of reference this more in RoboCop 2, because when you see them bring out all the different prototypes of RoboCop, like all these upgraded versions, the one pulls his head off.
Oh, that was wicked.
That scared the shit out of me when I was
like, it goes insane and kills itself.
And then the other one realizes he's a fucking TV, shoots the scientist, and then shoots himself in the head. I mean, that's something to really kind of think about. And actually, I kind of think this is where we can transition into talking about the new movie. One of the things I really liked about the new one is it explores this concept of identifying yourself as RoboCop. And what I mean by that is, you're literally a man inside a machine, but you can never leave. It literally has become you. I mean, in the original movies, Murphy's like, "okay, I was dead, now I'm alive, I stopped crime, let's go to town." and they would talk about the humanity, but it would never be truly explored. I mean, it would be more like him understanding what it was to be human again, to understand his emotions. In the new RoboCop, it's more of a philosophical question, I think.
Very much so.
Because he's like, oh my God, what am I? If I can't be human, I'd rather be dead.
Yep.
And the fact that he now has to cope, the fact he's a fully robotic being. I mean, there's his brain.
His hand,
part of a spinal column, and his lungs. Not even a heart. I mean, he doesn't have a heart.
Yeah, that's because you would have seen the heart. It's just the lungs, the brain, which he even says, this isn't my brain. He's like, well, we had to do a lot of repairs to it. Most of it's robotic chips.
And I'm just thinking, Jesus. And it's him kind of coming to terms with it. And I like the fact how in the new movie, they describe him having psychotic episodes or having his dopamine levels are too high. He's processing too much information. I like the fact that
he's trying to become human again.
Yeah, and that's something the original never really touched upon. Like, Peter Weller just accepted it. That Murphy accepted it. This one, he's trying not to. I mean, I think he really understands the fact that he should be dead. And he doesn't quite understand the life that's been given to him.
Especially when he starts seeing the CCTV footage of his own death. And he saw those explosions.
Yeah.
And he has that seizure because he's comprehending the information, contradicting itself with the system and such, how he should be dead, but he's alive, and it's throwing him off. Like, when they start referencing how he's solving his own murder, I'm like, that fucks you up mentally tenfold.
Which I thought that was actually really kind of clever that he does solve his own murder, goes interrogating people, shit like that, confronts his own kind of murderers. I like the fact that it was corrupt cops. And it was the chief we thought was going to be his friend was the one who fucked him over the most. Although I was really hoping the chief's name would be Reed, like it was in the original movie. But I like Sergeant Reed, so I'm glad they didn't turn him into a dickbag. But there are things about the new one that I like the fact that they would explore him dreaming. The fact that he could have his dopamine levels turned down so much, he became so robotic. And at first, I thought the idea of having his left hand as a real thing is kind of fucking idiotic. I can kind of see where they're coming from now, because I remember in very early promotional stuff for the movie, they talk about having his left hand real so people can shake it. And they mean that in the regards that they want, like, Michael Keaton's character, I think his name is Sellers.
Yep, Peter Sellers.
Says they want a machine that they can get behind. So by shaking the machine's hand, you understand there's a man in there.
Exactly. And it almost almost seems like the obvious ploy. And when they're talking about the Dreyfus Act, when Peter Dreyfus is like, they do not want a robot pulling the trigger. And I had a feeling the human hand there was to emphasize the fact that this hand is human, but attached to a robot. So technically, the human is pulling a trigger in some weird psychological thing like that.
Plus, in his left hand, I'm actually looking at my RoboCop toy right now. That's the hand where he holds his non-lethal weapon.
Yeah.
His taser. Which can kill you, but they never really specify at times. So with this, it's fascinating to watch the man learn to be human again, to kind of understand what's going on to him and around him. And I will say this, OCP in this one, or Omnicore, as they say, OCP is the parent company. In this one, how they're trying to get drones onto American soil, and this is actually a big debate in the States right now, talking about having unmanned drones. They say drones don't make mistakes. And while RoboCop reacts like a human and will feel bad if something bad happens, but it's the software doing, I don't know, it gets kind of convoluted. I can see where they're like coming from. Murphy adds the human element to it, whereas the combat software handles all the day-to-day operations. And it's interesting to see that we're now having that discussion between person-to-person warfare, which is always the way it's been, people fighting people, or push-button warfare, where it's literally missiles or guns shooting at each other. But now we're talking about drones. I mean, there's drones on the fields in Afghanistan right now. Not like these bipedal fucking Iron Man-looking things. But we're having drones fly over countries using aerial strikes. There's drones with guns mounted to them. And I know just recently there was a discussion, I think it was like at like a DARPA event or something, where they're talking about when the machines can pull triggers without human intervention is where we need to start having a conversation before it gets to this point. And I like the fact that this RoboCop movie tries to address this new drone issue. Because it's something we're going to have to start talking about. Because in the movie, Sam Jackson's character is talking about how no human lives have been lost in a while. These drones are bringing security to places that I've never known it. Stuff like that. And it gets pretty heavy. In the regard that this is the way warfare could go. And there's no human element to it. Thus, there's no consequence outside of collateral damage. And I don't know. I think it's a very interesting conversation to have. Like I said, especially now. Are we ever going to get to that point? And I myself do not want a robot deciding life or death. I want a human behind that to be able to think, to rationalize, to feel. In the movie, they're talking to Senator Dreyfus, and they say, if your robot kills a kid, what does it feel? And Sellers dances around the issue. He's like, well, it can do this, it can do that. People are think of the countless lives it's saving. And he says, you're not answering my question. What does it feel? And he's like, and he just kind of throws up his hands and says nothing. And that's kind of the way things are now. I mean, when they talk about having drones accidentally killing people over in Afghanistan and Iraq and everything, that's kind of terrifying when you think that drone was not supposed to do that.
I don't know how I personally feel about it. I can have a controversial opinion on it, but I don't know. Like, I personally, it's confusing.
Yeah, it is, because you think, do you want the efficiency of a machine that will just do the job with no questions asked? Or do you want a machine that can think and can hesitate, but can make a mistake?
Like, I would want the, like, when you see the machine, it's like, okay, this person is a murderer or whatever, and they kill him or arrest him right away. That's perfectly cool with me. I don't want when someone, like, if you're going to kill a murderer or you're going to arrest the rapist on the street because you're a robot drone who in the system matches retina scans, fingerprints and stuff by looking at it. This is obviously far in the future. That's perfectly cool, and I'd be 100% behind that. It would stop street crime. I'm almost certain that's gonna that would happen. Like, there'd still be a human judging you in the end to send you to jail or whatever. The drones would be on the streets. The people actually, it wouldn't be a Judge Dredd scenario where the drone becomes judge, jury, and executioner. Only executioner, I feel, if warranted. I feel like if you pull a gun on a cop, you gotta threaten a cop's life. The cop will shoot you, and that shouldn't be looked down upon. You made that choice and stuff. But, see, if it was like that, I wouldn't have any issues with it.
Well, I can maybe point to a real-life example, and this will be somewhat controversial, but hear me out. During the summer in Toronto, there was a guy who confronted the cops.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking when I was saying controversial.
Yeah, there's that mentally ill guy who pulled a knife. The cops,
the kid we're talking about, right?
Yeah, the guy, and they shot him something like 17 times.
It's like 6 or 7. It wasn't 17.
No, it was a... Yeah, you're right.
Okay. He only had a pistol. He couldn't have shot him that many times.
Yeah, but there were four cops that shot him.
There's only one cop that shot him.
Okay.
The article I read, there's only the one cop on the subway.
I'm talking about the streetcar one.
The streetcar, that's what I meant. Sorry, okay. There's only one cop on it, but there's cops outside.
Okay, so, okay. Either way, this guy got shot multiple times. Multiple times. So, at least 9. Yeah, he was 9 times. So, with a drone, what would a drone have done? It probably would have just, bam, shot. It saw the knife, it would have automatically assumed threat, die.
Yep.
With a person, it has a chance to talk it down. This cop, for whatever reason, I'm pretty sure they're still investigating this, made a judgment call. I have to take this person down. There is no way getting around this. This person has to die. And obviously, that's a very weighty decision to make. With law enforcement being able to make mistakes like this, like I said, it opens up a whole bunch of questions, whether what we want to make the call about life and death. And with this, I mean, the whole drone idea and talking about RoboCop in general is how do you apply law? Law is not black and white. Law is definitely shades of gray.
The only black and white law there ever was in humanity had to have gone back centuries to King Hammurabi's eye for an eye law. I kill your son, you kill mine. The only white law humanity has ever seen.
Well, at least in a way it makes sense, but then again, but once you start thinking about it, there's like, well, why did he do it? Did he deserve to die? And it starts bringing in morality, and that's what I've always liked about the RoboCop movies, is it does address the morality of what they're doing. Murphy in the Peter Weller in incarnation never really had a moral quandary, with the exception of him confronting Hob. Hob was the little fucking douchebag kid from Number Two. He couldn't shoot a kid. Whereas this new RoboCop, I think, might have.
Well, he might have before his dopamine levels went up.
Yeah, because the software would have just taken over and bam! Right.
Well, you see that exactly when we see the ED-209 after those terrorists in Tehran. They jump on to try to make a point of dying on television. And then his son goes out there with a knife. The ED-209 puts it in his sights, sees a knife threat, initially sees threat, and just blows the kid away.
Oh, yeah. And this kid gets taken out by, like, 50 caliber machine guns.
50 cal rounds. Yeah.
There's not much left of this kid to bury. And I don't know. That's something I thought the new movie did right. Now, I've had a lot of people say they're shoving the whole drone thing in our face, and yeah, they are. This is not as the subtle satire, or the, not subtle, rather over-the-top satire that Paul Verhoeven's movie had, and that's big thanks to the screenwriters of Ed Neumeier and Michael Miner. As for the new one, I just want to see who wrote this. I'm pretty sure they did as well. Let me see. Screenplay by Joshua Zettmer. Let me see, he's done, wow, he worked on Quantum of Solace and Dune back in 2010. Huh. Although this is his first screenplay credit. So, I guess let's talk about the new one compared to the old one.
Okay.
How do you, I don't think it's fair to really compare them. They share similar elements, but it's not really fair.
The only part, and I mentioned this to you before, that is reminiscent of the original RoboCop, besides the throwback lines, is the Novak element. That is the only part I felt that threw back to the original RoboCop.
I think there are some character elements that I think throw back to where they talk about Murphy's life previous. Because when you think about it, you get a lot more backstory in the new one than you do with the old one. With Murphy, he's like, hey, I'm a cop, first day here, bang, dead.
With this, no, one, he was transferred in.
Yeah. In this one, you actually see him have a family, have a friend, stuff like that, stuff outside of work. And that's something where I think they actually did kind of right with us. I would almost describe RoboCop, the new one, as more, it asks more questions than it answers. And normally that's a bad thing. But I don't think it is here. I wouldn't describe this as a hardcore action movie, because there's only a couple of action sequences, really.
And they all play.
Sorry. I was about to say, and I've heard people describe this movie as boring. I don't think I would go that far.
Yeah, I don't think you can describe it as boring.
I, I actually think
it's
it
moves
along.
It's not a snorefest.
I think it moves along at actually a half-decent pace. In fact, I was actually surprised when it ended. And this movie's, I think, just a little over... Or sorry, just a little under 2 hours. And I don't know. I mean, I would have liked an extra 5 minutes here and there just to answer one or two questions I had personally. But I have a feeling when the DVD comes out in probably a few months, they'll probably answer some stuff about this in a commentary. I really hope so.
Or in RoboCop 2 comes out in 2016.
See, that's another thing, too. Do you think a sequel's needed? I think this one could stand on its own, and I'd be okay with that.
Well, the fact that they had to mention OCP near the end of it already makes me seem like they're for sure going to have a sequel. Like, that's what Hollywood wanted anyways, obviously. We all know that. We've seen so many films. Hollywood always wants to get that sequel in. They always set it up, all these things. It's like, OCP, Omnicorp's parent company, had no comment on the situation. And then when RoboCop gets the silver, which I think they should have kept the entire movie.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Because the black looks so fucking terrible. The silver, when I saw it in the beginning, I'm like, oh, shit, maybe the black was just, you know, kind of a fuck you, we're kidding, he's actually going to be in silver. And I was like, oh, he looks awesome. Because when, at the end of the film, when you notice he gets the silver armor back on, it is more reminiscent of the 87 film, but it's also missing the Omnicorp logo on it.
Yeah,
it only has the Detroit Police Badge logo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want to know, is if he's now strictly just Detroit Police, or what is going on there with that? Because that was, I was curious about.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to know where they could take this franchise if they do decide to do a sequel. One thing I will say about the new one that I think is a big detraction from it, there is no memorable bad guy.
The
guy that Jackie Earle Haley plays, Robbie, or
was
Rick,
a douchebag.
Yeah, Robbie Maddox, or Rick Maddox. He's this, yeah. This mercenary dude.
He sounds like an 80s action hero.
He sounds like an asshole.
I know, he's such a dick, like... Hey, mind if I play some music?
Yeah, I'm thinking...
I was like, oh, okay, what's he going to play?
So you are not Clarence Boniger. I mean, and that's the thing,
Clarence Boniger would have done while he was going to kill RoboCop. Like, I could totally have seen him doing that and have a super cocky way and then blow his head off.
See, I would have been kind of cool if they had... Boniger as a guy. See, if they would have changed the Maddox character to Boniger and maybe had him be a bit more arrogant, I would have liked that maybe a little bit more. But I guess that's the thing. You don't send Jackie Earle Haley to do Kurtwood Smith's job. And I guess that's the big thing. And even when there's that criminal... guy that they're
nope,
trying to get.
What's the shit about?
Yeah, whose name I can't even... Oh, sorry. His name is Antoine Valen.
Antoine Valen. Which, fun fact, his birthday was the release day of RoboCop.
I was unaware of this.
Yeah, if I'm correct. Yeah, I was 87. I'm trying to remember what the date was. But when when RoboCop's pulling up the stuff on his thing about Antoine Valen, it shows you his date of birth.
And it was such a throwaway thing, really. I mean, I guess they wanted to show RoboCop doing some real police work, but I don't know. It just felt like that subplot kind of went nowhere or got resolved just a little too quickly.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It felt very throwaway, for sure.
It did. It's not something that I'm particularly thrilled with, but like I said, the new RoboCop movie, I'd say as a whole, it's worth checking out.
I've seen it twice.
Don't know whether it's worth paying full price.
Well, I saw it twice because yesterday's girl, she wanted to go see it, and I was like, let's go see RoboCop.
Well, see that.
So I had ulterior motives.
Good boy. Good boy. Okay. Now.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
So let's kind of move the conversation forward, and I want to talk about some of the multimedia that has been surrounded around the RoboCop franchise. I mean, there have been two cartoon series. There was the original done by Marvel in 89, I think it was, or 88, which only lasted twelve episodes.
I don't know which one I would have seen at your house. I've seen a few episodes of one of them.
Let me ask you, how stupid was it? Because how you tell them apart.
Oh, it was retarded. I think I walked out of the room and I went and played video games.
Probably Alpha Commando then. Okay. Yeah, the original one done by Marvel actually in their introduction showed Murphy being gunned down.
Oh, no, that's the one I've seen.
See, that's the good one. That's the one that was done by Marvel. Shit. They actually have Sergeant Reed's in it, and Lewis is in it. Johnson from OCP, although now he's a scientist. And one of the characters from the movie, who's actually named, but only for a second, when RoboCop goes to City Hall, there's a SWAT officer named Hedgecock. That's SWAT Lieutenant Roger Hedgecock, and they actually make him a character in the series. He's like RoboCop's rival, I guess. He's like, that Tin Man's gonna put us out of a job and all this other stupid shit. And eventually, Dr. McNamara, the guy who invented the enforcement droid ED-260 in the series, develops this Iron Man suit to kick the crap out of RoboCop. Hedgecock almost kills Lewis, and RoboCop almost kills him. And that's what I liked about the Marvel series, is the fact that it would go to those places. They actually have an episode where he deals with the friggin' KKK and racism. There's another one where he tries to confront Clarence Boddicker and arrest him for his murder and all this crap. It's surprisingly well done. It's a little goofy because in one episode, I think the first episode is called Crime Wave. They fight these dudes who have like a robot dog, and they have like construction vehicles that can do stupid shit. But it's still a fairly well done series. And the fact that Ann Lewis is trying to humanize with RoboCop. In fact, at one point, and it pains me to say this, she tries to take RoboCop out on a date.
And the fuck?
Yeah, it's weird. They actually have Ann Lewis in a dress taking RoboCop out to a fancy restaurant. If I'm remembering this correctly. It's so friggin' out there. Now, unfortunately, this series has never been released in the United States on DVD, although I think it's been released in Region 2 as the complete series. You could only get it on VHS in North America. The second series, which came out in the late 90s, was RoboCop Alpha Commando, which evidently RoboCop has been taken offline for 10 years.
Oh my god, I hate when anything starts with that plot device. Well, he's been gone for 20 years!
And I guess it's kind of their way to separate the original from this new incarnation. And he's supposed to work with Alpha Unit, which is trying to start Dark, the Directorate Against Anarchy and Revenge. Who the fuck comes up with these acronyms? And RoboCop becomes Inspector Gadget. And I used to show a cartoon stream about a year or two ago every Friday night. And one episode that I remember watching is RoboCop had to participate in this cross-desert rally race. And at one point, the car breaks down with his scientist buddy, Dr. Neumeier. Or Dr. Minor, I don't know, either way. It was voiced by Dean Haglund, Langley from the X-Files.
Cornelius Neumeier.
That's it. So at one point, RoboCop, it pains me to say this, Scotty, he grows skis out of his feet.
Holy shit.
And grows a giant jet turbine.
You know, I think I did see this one on TV on like a Saturday morning block one weekend.
It's just, what the Christ. It's so out there. RoboCop has a glue gun. He never shoots anybody, or if he does, it's always with like a stun round or whatever. Basically, they turned RoboCop literally into a Saturday morning cartoon hero, and it has the best theme song of all time. It's literally these big dramatic guys just going, RoboCop, da-da-da-da, RoboCop. And yeah, literally, that's it. Then it goes, RoboCop. And I'm actually dancing while I do this. It's pretty stupid. Although you can see it's streaming on Hulu right now.
Oh my god.
And it has never
Don't
been...
waste your time. You know what's more fun than watching that show? Giving yourself a lobotomy, kids.
That's right. It's terrible. I mean, it's vaguely entertaining.
Don't However, die on me here, man.
Sorry.
Wait. But if you do, we could turn you into a RoboCop.
You could totally bring me back as a cyborg.
Because we only need your face and your lungs, I guess. Actually, all we need is your brain.
Yeah, fuck
we'll take
these
your face
lungs.
Too. Just, you know, might as well, I guess. Maybe we'll redesign it a little bit. We'll put, like, we'll make you look more like Snake Plissken.
I could deal with this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could. Or Jack Bauer. Really depends who you want.
One of the other series that did come out of the whole RoboCop franchise, there actually was a live-action television series that was shot in Toronto and Hamilton back in the early 90s. And
the 1994 American cyberpunk television series.
It lasted about 22 episodes. However, though, it was only available, made on DVD within the last couple of years. I think 2010 is when it was published. Only in Canada, though. The U.S. did not get this for whatever reason. I remember reviewing this from, I think it was Alliance Films when this originally came out. And it's not as dark as RoboCop 1 or anything remote. It's probably more closer in tone than RoboCop 3, where it's a little more... jokey's not the word. A little less serious in tone. In fact, I would actually compare it to a lot of that action-adventure TV you'd see anywhere between about 94 to about 98. Very much in line with The Lost World or Adventure Inc. or, you know, Thunder in Paradise. That sort of Saturday afternoon kind of show you'd see. And he'd run into villains like Pudface Morgan, Dr. Crazy Miliardo. In fact, there was one episode I really I think it's called RoboCop versus Commander Cash. Is one episode you should particularly watch because it shows this OCP mascot and he decides, you know what, I'm really going to do the right thing and go and try out and stop crime and everything, and how his technology was subverted to deliver subliminal messages to kids to go buy toys and everything. But
so Pokemon, before Pokemon.
Pretty much. Although it's an entertaining series. Now, the guy that played him, I think, I'm trying to get the name. I want to say it was Richard Eden. Yeah, Richard Eden was the guy that did it in the series. And he's not a bad Murphy. In fact, they actually go more in the Murphy's background about his family and his wife. They also meet Murphy's father, who he works with during the course of the series. There's this ghost in the machine, who's this OCP supercomputer who helps out RoboCop and is kind of like a love interest, kind of, sort of. Although Anne Lewis is not his partner. It's this person named Madigan. And there actually was, I can't remember where I read this. There's like a meme where she's like, you're going to go fight crime in that. She dresses like a hobo would be the best way to describe this character. But it's not bad. And for its time, it was actually quite expensive to produce. It was like $1 million per episode when this thing came out. But definitely a nice piece of 90s nostalgia there for you. There was also another television series which came out in the early 2000s that was actually developed by the Space Channel.
There's a really that recent a RoboCop series?
Yeah, it was called RoboCop Prime Directives. It was a four movie miniseries where basically RoboCop kills his partner, and his name was Lieutenant John Cable, played by Maurice DeWitt, who played Scout on Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future. And OCP turns him into another RoboCop. They call him RoboCable, and instead of having one Auto-9, he's got two of them. And there's this other guy, there's this OCP executive named Damian Lowe, and he wants to install this program, supercomputer, in Delta City. It's not Detroit anymore, called Saint, which will help do automation, will make OCP billions of dollars. And Murphy's son works for him, and it gets kind of goofy and kind of stupid because eventually they run to this scientist named K-Dick, and he wants to install this biovirus thing called Legion, which will kill people. So he hacks Cable to help him, and it's stupid. Although one of the stupider parts of this, and only because the name is kind of goofy, is RoboCop runs into this techno fighter thief person whose name is Anarchy.
Are you serious?
Yep. Played by Leslie Hope.
That is the worst. Oh my god!
I know. I couldn't believe it, and it took me a long time to realize. It is. I'm like, really, guys? Come on.
This is as bad as Alucard.
But at least Alucard sounds better than Anarchy.
Oh, that's. I won't even fight you on that one.
One of the things that Prime Directives did. It didn't match the more dark satire of the original RoboCop series, of the original RoboCop movie, because it did have those media breaks in them. They'd have things like, oh, by the way, the rainforest burned down, but don't worry, it'll be back tomorrow. Stuff
Joe
like that.
Gordon pops in the rainforest.
It's just, it's got a lot of throwaway one-liners, although I would recommend watching the Prime Directive's miniseries, if you are a fan of the franchise as a whole, because it's genuinely entertaining. Now, there's been a shit ton of comic books. I unfortunately have only read RoboCop versus Terminator.
Which, I didn't even know there was comic books, but then again, I shouldn't be surprised that there are.
They're questionable at best. I mean, the ones that I have read, like I said, are RoboCop versus Terminator, which was done by Frank Miller. Which is surprisingly cool, actually. Now
it's Frank Miller. It has to be good.
I have the original run, which means I have these little cardboard punch-out things where I can have little cardboard Terminators. I can have a cardboard Ed 209 and a flying RoboCop. Basically, the story of that, just in short, RoboCop was very key to Skynet's development. It was the first merging of a human mind with software. And it was the brain patterns which helped give birth to Skynet. So the human resistance finds out that this is a thing. So they send back this woman named Flo to go back in time and kill RoboCop before he can interface with Skynet. RoboCop helps her because she comes back to the past and gets her ass kicked. And he's like, oh, well, maybe I can stop this before it ever happens. I'll go to OCP and see if I can get them to stop it. The Terminators kick his ass, upload his mind in the Skynet, the world ends. In the future, he rebuilds himself a new body and helps fight alongside the human resistance. And then the human resistance asks him a question. They're like, hey, you rebuilt yourself, obviously. Could you do it again? And they're like, and RoboCop's like, don't see why not. Why? Here's my plan. So they literally assault Skynet HQ with an army of flying RoboCops. It's such a stupid idea, but when you think about it, you know, that's kind of awesome. So they assault Skynet HQ. RoboCop wraps himself in a bubble of flesh so he can go back in time. Goes back in time, appears in Detroit, bursts out of this fleshy womb thing. Flies up to the Skynet satellite and then detonates. So Skynet now never existed. And RoboCop in the past feels something changed. But he's like, hey, you know what? Maybe today is going to be a good day after all. And oh, that's how that series ends. It's so ridiculous. But kind maybe of awesome in a way.
Good day after all.
I'm trying to think of like other ones. Now, there was another RoboCop versus Terminator comic, but I haven't read that one. There was the Marvel series. There was another one. There was another series based on Frank Miller's notes for RoboCops 2 and 3 by Dark Horse. There's ones by Avatar Press. I wish I could talk more about them. I really can't, which is really unfortunate. The video games, there's been countless of the ones. The most recent one is one on the iOS based on the new movie. It's actually okay. There was one for the Xbox. Xbox, and I think it was an Xbox exclusive.
I always wanted to play this one.
Oh my god, it's fucking terrible.
Is it shit?
Oh my god. I reviewed it for Rad probably about a year and a half ago. Holy shit, never again. It controls so shittily. You die so easy. It's fucking bad. Now there have
been... But it's for RoboCop, Michael.
See, I like the original RoboCop NES games, with the exception of number 3. Fuck number 3. Those ones are just bad. Although RoboCop 3 for the Super Nintendo is kind of weird because you fight Satan in a parking garage, if I remember correctly. It was really, really weird. RoboCop versus the Terminator. If you're going to get this game, get it on the Sega Genesis.
That's the one I got. Oh, no, wait. I have the Super Nintendo one.
The Super Nintendo one gets stupid difficult later on in the game. I found it
pretty stupid difficult.
I think I've only ever beaten it once. The one for the Sega I've beaten a few times. It sounds better. It looks better, and it just plays better. There's been several RoboCop arcade machines, which are like side-scrolling beat-em-ups. I think both were done by Data East. There's a RoboCop pinball machine, which I think was actually at Con Bravo this past year.
It was. I played it a bit. Because they had the whole competition. If you got the highest score on a certain machine, they would give you one. And I wanted that machine.
That would have been cool to win.
It would have killed me.
I would have found a way to get that fucker in my house.
I won. That you wouldn't have left my house. You'd be like, can I just sleep here?
Yeah, I'm just going to sleep under the machine. Don't worry.
There's room.
I'll be gentle. I'm trying to think of other bits of multimedia or games or anything. That's all I can think of. There's been tons of novel tie-ins, stuff like that. One of the things that...
It's just a very iconic franchise, so there's so much...
And that's another thing, too. There's a shit ton of merch for this. And one of the companies that actually helped us put this show together this month was a company called Jada Toys. They're one of the guys that hold the license for RoboCop right now. As far as I can tell, they hold one of the licenses for the new movie. Now, they've produced a line of figures. There's a 12-inch talking RoboCop, which I have, which has like 10 different phrases from the movie. There's a series of 6-inch figures and 4-inch figures. There's like a role play helmet, a chest plate, and RoboCop's motorcycle. Very well detailed figures, actually. I'm actually rather surprised on the amount of detail on the 4-inch figures. I think they retail for about $10 a piece. Totally worth it. Other licensees that hold it are NECA. They did a huge talking 18-inch RoboCop a couple years ago. McFarlane Movie Maniacs used to have it way back in the day. There was a glow-in-the-dark RoboCop, which was a Toys R Us exclusive from NECA, I think was last year. There's one released in his NES colors, which I think was a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. There's a shit ton of toys. There's these Funko Pop vinyl figures for RoboCop, Hot Toys, which is this really high-end Chinese company.
Give me a sec. I have to change my pants. Oh, my gosh.
They are amazing. They actually have a version of RoboCop. You can have him sit in his chair from the first movie and have all his, like, kind of monitors around him. There's Ed 209 model kits. There's one from Hot Toys as well. There's, like, an Ed 209. I think it's, like, $500-$600. There's another company called Kotobukiya. I think they've produced some pretty nice stuff. They're mostly known for their Star Wars licensee. I think Art Effects has done some stuff. There's Roleplay. Not Roleplay. There actually is a company. I think it's called Tokyo Maori, I think. They produce airsoft guns. There's a fully automatic electric RoboCop gun. In fact, internet personality CheapyD, I think, has a video up on YouTube.
Just gonna mention that. Yeah, he does.
Where he fires off like 100 rounds with this thing.
He is a huge RoboCop fan. He always posts photos of his RoboCop toys, and he broke his first airsoft one when he moved.
Now
I wish we could get that shit here.
I'm trying to import one of these things. Problem is, because it is gas blowback, you have to be careful with it and stuff like that because it sees a certain velocity. Now, if you're in the States, this thing is easy as fuck to find. There are spring-loaded versions of this gun, but they are plastic and they are not of high quality. I've actually owned one of these guns. I'm trying to think of who else in terms of merch that's really worth kind of mentioning. Tons of posters, stuff like that. I'm looking around my room, seeing if there's anything else that's a RoboCopy that I should probably mention. I don't think so. I remember they also had tie-ins for, like, trading cards. One of the toys that I'm a huge fan of was the original 89 Kenner line. In fact, as of this recording, so today, Thursday, the February 27th, I'm actually going to Orangeville, and a guy is selling his entire RoboCop toy collection. I might be able to get this thing for like $50.
Really? Oh, what kind of toys are we talking here?
The original 89 line. He's got a Robo 1, which was his car. He's got the motorcycle. He's got Ed 209, which is a hard toy to find. I've had one in my life, and I broke him in half by accident. So I am so happy to get this back in my collection after 20-plus years. Yeah, and honestly, there's been toys for Alpha Commando, which are kind of goofy-looking. There's always been a RoboCop toy in some capacity. One of the things I would love to get my hands on, I just can't find it, there's a bootleg toy called Robert Cop, which it shows the artwork from RoboCop 2 where he's coming out of the wall in his silver-blue armor. And instead of RoboCop, it's Robert Cop. I really want to find this at some point. I'm sure someone has one. So that's all I can think of about for merch. So much cool shit for almost any budget. I really want to get one of the RoboCop masks at some point.
Just like, what do you mean? Like the one? Didn't Laura have one or something?
Laura or Laidman's got one, I think. It looks cool. I love RoboCop. There are people that occasionally cosplays him at conventions. It's a really heavy-ass costume, but it looks really cool. Oh, I forgot something to mention about this in multimedia, but I did mention it during Just the Facts. RoboCop has even fought in ECW. He freed Sting from the Four Horsemen back in the 90s.
I saw that clip.
And RoboCop has also sold fried chicken in Korea, so he does everything. And I guess that's where we're going to kind of leave things off here. So, Scotty, what are your closing thoughts on the future of law enforcement?
The future of law enforcement? Oh, my gosh. I'm the future of law enforcement. That's right. I am the future. I'm a child. That means children are the future.
For me. And I don't even know how to respond to that. For me, RoboCop is, to me, that's what I want. That's my idealized version of law enforcement. A cop who never says die, who literally gave his life and continues to serve the public trust, to uphold the law, to protect the innocent. I really like that idea. I love the fact that Alex Murphy, despite under layers of Kevlar laminated steel and armor that can crush your hand and all this other crazy shit, that he's still a man underneath. I mean, RoboCop, you were my first hero, and you always will be my hero. So thank you to the creators of RoboCop, in Ed Neumeier and Michael Miner. You've given me an icon for the ages. And, well, I guess as they'd say, for This Week in Geek, we have been
Scott, who sounded like a douchebag with his response.
I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, saying, I'd buy that for $1.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, but I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
What's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico. Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Whoa, my God. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.